There. Hey, good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Let's see. We have a couple of visitors. I'm not going to point them out because I don't like being called out, but hello to our visitors. It's good to see you. And we are thankful that you've come to worship with us today. We hope that you enjoy your time here, and you are truly welcome here with us. So thank you for coming. We're a little low because of COVID, but Dave Densmore has shown up, and so all is right with the world. A few announcements. Bible study is still Wednesday night, but we've changed the time to 5 o'clock just to kind of accommodate the time change with some people who don't like to drive whenever it's dark, and we don't want anybody to feel unsafe. But we also don't want people to not come to Bible study just because they feel unsafe. So we're still in the first epistle of the Apostle Peter. So probably finish that up soon and then go on to 2 Peter. So everyone is welcome to attend and invited to attend 5 o'clock on Wednesday. And we are having it back here because Terry told us we're not welcome at her home anymore. So no, really what it is that she keeps adopting every animal in the neighborhood, and it's getting kind of, you know, full there. So if you have any animals you want to get rid of, take them over to Terry's house, and she will make sure that they're well taken care of. Let's see, we have a Christmas Eve service. It will be Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock, and it will be here in the sanctuary. Everyone is invited to that. It will be a traditional candlelight service. Also, you may notice that you have another calendar. That's not because Wanda needed to get rid of some. It's because we had a few things that changed since she made the other calendar. So this is the current correct calendar for the month of December. And you can see on it, on the back, I believe, or actually I guess that's the front, AA, we just found out, is only doing Zoom AA meetings right now. They're not having any AA meetings in the fellowship hall because of COVID and concerns related to that. Also, the pecans and other such things are going fast. Every bag is $10 each. If you need some, want some, just let Wanda know and she will get them to you. Other than that, I can't think of any announcements. So let's begin with the chiming of the hour. Thank you. At this time, Terry and Nora Lee are going to come up and do our Advent candle reading and lighting.
The third Sunday of Advent, we are invited to reflect upon the joy we have access to because of our faith in Jesus. One of the defining characteristics of Christ followers is their joyful demeanor. Let's not allow the struggles of this year steal from our great joy we have because of Jesus. Philippians 4:4-5 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Over this Advent, would you pray that the joy of the Lord would be evident in your heart and home? May God's Spirit transform the days leading up to Christmas into a time of holy anticipation, preparing our hearts as we joyfully await the chance to celebrate the arrival of our King.
The tradition for the third Sunday of Advent includes lighting a pink candle as a symbol of joy. The third Sunday of Advent, we read, pray, and reflect on the joy that God's plan gives us, foretold by the prophets and fulfilled by the life and death of Christ. And we meditate on the promise of Christ's coming, glory-filled return.
Thank you, ladies. As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn. O Come All Ye Faithful, we will sing the first and last verses. And for those of you at home who may have a hymnal, it is number 234. Thank you. Please remain standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, number 881 in your United Methodist hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I have a few that have already been given to me. Nancy's sister-in-law and brother, I'm guessing, right, Nancy? Sister-in-law and brother? Cousin. Lula and Tom Spear, they have COVID and they're not doing very well. So Nancy has asked for prayer for them. Also, Laurel and Tim Rosales are related to Nancy, niece's son, and they both have COVID, and they're not doing well either. So if you could keep them in your prayers. Also, Morgan has asked for prayer for a friend of hers. Is it Robin Iceberg? Okay. And Robin is not doing well, so if you could pray for Robin. And also, Morgan's mother passed away just this morning at 7, and I don't want to betray any of Morgan's trust with the things that we've talked about, but just know that it's a very difficult situation for Morgan, and so I'm sure that prayers will be much appreciated during this time. Also, Larry sent me a text this morning. Let me see what he said so I can say it properly. He said that his dad's having a bad start to his day, and Alice isn't doing well. And so he also asked for prayer for himself. And as many of you know, Larry does lots of things for the church and the community. And with Alice not doing well, and then his father moving in with him, and his father not doing well, it takes a toll on Larry because on top of trying to take care of them, he feels guilty for not doing the other things that he is committed to doing. And he knows that we don't hold it against him, but as many of us know, we are our own worst enemies a lot of times. And so please pray for Larry and for Alice and for Arville during this difficult time in their lives. And then a couple other prayer requests. A friend of mine in Georgia has a friend who has COVID and is in the hospital and had to be put on a ventilator. And they're not doing well, so I can't remember their name, but the Lord knows. And so if we would, please keep them in our prayers. And then another friend of mine, her brother-in-law, who's in New Jersey, has COVID, and he's not doing well. So just keep everyone in your prayers for this this sickness. Hopefully, as some of the vaccines start to come out, they'll start working and all those different things. But please pray for all of those who have it, all of those who have loved ones who have it, all those who have loved ones who have passed, and also for the other illnesses that that we have in our world. Does anyone else have any requests they would like to share? Yes, Beth. And Georgia, did you have one? Sure. Okay. All right. We will pray for him. Do you happen to know
Mickey?
Okay. All right. Yes. Yes. Nora Lee is having some oral surgery in the morning, for those of you who didn't hear. So we will keep her in our prayers. Keep Wanda in your prayers. She's hopefully going to get some answers about her knee. She told me, let's see, I saw her Friday, and she said on Friday that, long story short, nobody knew why nobody had contacted her. They have all of her information, and they'll call her back. And that was Wednesday, I think she said, and they hadn't called her back by Friday, so she wasn't sure when they were supposed to call her back. So the good news is they apparently have all of her information. The bad news is she can't seem to get them to do anything with it. So in the meantime, she's in a lot of pain, so if you will keep her in your prayers, I know she would appreciate it. Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kamikawa. Anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? Uh-oh, Liliana's got one. We'll go with Keith first. All right, yeah, Keith's father-in-law passed away. So if y'all will pray for the family. All right, Liliana, what's your request today? We've been told that we don't have a request now. Those of you who don't, who haven't been here before or don't come often, Liliana always has prayer requests that aren't quite quick prayer requests. So, but they're always a joy to hear. So, hi, sweetheart. Does anyone else have any prayer requests they would like to share? All right. Well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we have numerous requests today for healing and for health. Most of them related to this COVID virus that is going around. Lord, we pray that you would bring comfort, healing, and strength to all of those who need it. We pray that you would be with the doctors and the nurses and the treatment teams and all those who are studying this virus, trying to understand it, trying to develop vaccines. Lord, for those who have lost loved ones, we pray that you would provide comfort and strength for them. Lord, we also want to pray for those who have lost loved ones here recently, Morgan and Keith's family. We pray, Lord, that during these difficult times of grief, that they would feel your presence, that they would know that you are there, and that you mourn death with them, even as you conquer death through Christ. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, may we be reminded that worship is about you. May we worship you fully. We pray all these things in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, let's see. I always forget to tell Wanda to change this order, but we're going to sing our next hymn now. Number 220, if you have a United Methodist hymnal with you. Angels from the Realms of Glory, as you're able to, please stand, and we will sing the first and last verses. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we will have some special music from our big band over here. Clayton and Elena will play some special music for us.
Thank you.
Thank you, you too. Appreciate it. At this time, we would like to say a prayer over our tithes and our offerings. And just for those of you who haven't been here or don't remember, we have a basket going into the narthex there, as well as one at this store that you can leave your offering. You can also mail it in. Our mailbox is secure. You can drop it in the mailbox if you feel like it. And you can also look for mine or Wanda's vehicle. We come during the week some. The bishop doesn't want us to be here too terribly much, but we do try to be here a little bit during the week. So if you see our vehicles, you can leave your tithes and offerings with us then. And also at the top of our Facebook page is a place, a link to give online, and you can do it that way as well. As always, follow the prompting of the Spirit in how you give your tithes and offerings. We would rather that you be faithful to what the Lord has called you to do. And so at this time, let us pray over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, as we prepare to give back of those blessings, we ask that you would remind us we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated." So we lit the pink candle today. Technically, the candle is rose, technically. But it always kind of shows up as pink. And I would call that one pink, but I guess it's rose. I don't know. You have to be really into colors to get the differences between some colors. The only reason that I tell you that it's rose is because it is the Magnificat Sunday, also the Sunday of joy. And roses are considered joyful flowers, right? You give roses to the one you love, but you also give roses to people that you feel are good friends. You also give roses as rewards, right? Miss America gets a bouquet of roses. If you go to prom, the prom queen gets roses, but also the other people in the court or in the homecoming court, they get roses. The homecoming queen gets roses, that kind of thing. So technically, it's rose, but we won't split hairs too much this morning as far as colors go, because I think maybe one of us in here knows enough about colors to know the difference. So, but as I said, today is also Magnificat Sunday. What does that mean? That's a big word. That means that this is the Sunday we remember when Mary was visited and told that she would give birth to Jesus. And this time of year, when we get to this point, I often think about what Mary was thinking. I mean, imagine, she's 12 to 14, maybe at the highest 16 years old, but probably 12 to 14. She is betrothed to a man. We don't know how old Joseph was. He would have been anywhere from probably 16 to about maybe 30, but probably not, unless he had been married before. And she has gone away for a little while he gets the house together. In Jewish custom, you get betrothed and you are technically married, meaning that you don't get to have boyfriends and girlfriends and things like that. But at the same time, you have not consummated the marriage. You do not have a house. The husband is supposed to build the house for you. And once he has the house in order, then you come in and the rest of the wedding ceremony is performed. And then it ends with the consummation of the marriage. So Mary is waiting for Joseph to build the house, and she goes off to another area. Using our geography, we'll say that she left Rockwood and she headed over to Lenoir City to visit her cousin. Now, you got to remember that this is back in the time whenever Lenoir City was a bit of a trek from Rockwood. It still kind of is, depending on when you hit the interstate or what back road you decide to take and who decided to take it with you. But it was a little ways away. She went to visit family, and she has this vision, and she's told that she's going to give birth to the Messiah. And to her credit, Mary says, "I accept. May it be done as you say." Mary is honored to be the mother of the Messiah. But I have to think that she probably is thinking to herself, "Wow, wait till I tell Joseph that our firstborn child will be the Messiah." But Mary starts to show some pregnancy signs. And Joseph is back home. Scripture tells us that Mary is gone for approximately 3 months. And then she comes back home. So she leaves Lenoir City and she heads back to Rockwood. Now, some women don't show when they're only 3 months pregnant. But most women, you can kind of tell. You shouldn't point out that, you know, you think they're pregnant, because, well, that can really embarrass you quite a bit. But I'm sure that Mary was starting to show that she was pregnant. Now think about what the people are thinking. They say to themselves, Joseph's not done building the house yet. We didn't have a wedding ceremony, but Mary's pregnant after she went away for a little while. Sometimes we like to think that ancient people are kind of dumb. Well, you know, they were smarter than us in a lot of ways. After all, they could do things like build immense, massive structures without benefit of calculators and computer-aided design and those types of things. So, you know, they already have my respect for that. But people may not have known all the little minutiae of where babies come from, but they knew where babies came from. And they knew that Mary was pregnant, and they knew that her husband was hanging out here for the last 3 months while she was gone for the last 3 months. And then she comes with this story. Oh, an angel appeared to me, guys, and he said, I'm going to give birth to the Messiah, and it's a miracle. Sure, Mary. Yeah, okay. Even Joseph didn't believe. Joseph was a good man, and he was like, I don't want Mary to die because, you know, that's the punishment for what she has done. So he's trying to figure out how he can kind of divorce her quietly and send her on her way. And an angel has to appear to him to tell him, no, she's telling the truth. But think about the fear that Mary had. Most people probably didn't believe her. She knew what the penalty for adultery was. Whether she committed it or not was irrelevant. As far as the people were concerned, there wasn't much question. Mary is probably scared. Mary is probably wondering if Joseph is going to send her away. And guess what? Once you have a kid in this culture, you're kind of damaged goods. I hate to say it that way, but it is what, or I should say, it was what it was. Nobody really wanted to marry you because now we have an issue with who gets the blessing, who is the firstborn. And with Mary, there would have been a stigma because it appears that she has committed adultery, right? So Mary has to be worried. She has to be afraid. Yet Mary had joy. The English language is a difficult language because we kind of There's the joke that English doesn't borrow from other languages. It takes them into an alley and roughs them up a little bit and then steals words from their pockets, you know? English is one of the strangest languages. We have words from German and from Greek and from Hebrew and French and Spanish and name a European language especially, and there's probably a word or two from it. And on top of that, for all of that, we have words that mean different things depending on context. Now, other languages have this too, but we have very important words, I would say, that mean different things in different contexts. For instance, love. I love my mom. I love my daughter. I love pizza. I love spring. But do I love my mother like I love my daughter, like I love pizza, like I love spring? No, hopefully not. We have to use context. So when we get to a word like joy, what does joy mean to us in English? Joy usually means happiness, right? We're happy. Somebody says you're joyful, they mean you're happy, right? If you say something gives you great joy, it makes you very happy. That's what we think of when we say it in English. And so because of this, we get things within the church where we say things like, we're too blessed to be depressed. Christians should always be joyful, right? We read what Paul said here in Thessalonians. Rejoice always. It means be happy all the time. If you're not happy all the time, there's something wrong with you. The Holy Spirit must not be in you, or you don't have enough faith, or whatever it may be. Well, I have a feeling that Mary didn't have a lot of happiness while she was carrying Jesus. She probably had a lot of fear and anxiety. But you know, Mary's human. And we're Christians, we're not Marians. And we follow Jesus, right? Christian means little Christ. So, we shouldn't look to Mary and say, well, Mary didn't have, you know, she wasn't always happy, so we don't always have to be happy, right? We shouldn't do that. We should look to Jesus, who was always happy, right? Jesus was always happy, wasn't he? You know, when he was hanging there on the cross, being crucified, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he was being whipped with a cat of nine tails, when he was in the garden under so much anguish and stress that the blood vessels in his forehead burst and mixed with his sweat so that it looked like he was sweating blood. He was happy during that. Whenever he was frustrated with Peter and he called him Satan, he was happy during that, wasn't he? And whenever he got exasperated and he said, how long do I have to put up with your faithlessness, you wicked generation? That made him happy, right? And of course, there's one of the happiest moments when he took and fashioned a whip out of cords and he ran the money changers out of the temple and turned over their tables. He probably did that with a smile on his face, right? That's ridiculous. Jesus didn't hang on the cross with a big smile on his face saying, well, this sure is nice. We should do this some other time too. So is Jesus not joyful? Or is there something more to joy that we're missing because of the weakness of our common tongue? In Scripture, joy is not an emotion. Happiness is an emotion. And emotions, you know, they change, right? You could be happy, your favorite song comes on, you're driving down the road, and you say, boy, I love this song, and you're singing along and having a good old time, and then you run off the road and into a ditch, and you go, well, word you don't say in church, right? You're not happy anymore. You're probably a little bit scared. You're probably irritated, frustrated. You're upset. You have some anxiety going on. I guess you're not a very good Christian, huh? Except that joy isn't an emotion. Joy is a state of being. Joy is something within us. Joy comes from the knowledge that God is in control. Jesus knew that he was going to the cross. Why do you think in the garden he said, you know, we don't have to do this, right? We can do something else. And then he said, but your will be done. Because he had joy. Because he knew the plan. And he knew the end result. And he trusted that it would be accomplished. I point it out very often, and I think it's because we forget it very often. One of Jesus' last sayings to the disciples before he ascended was, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Notice Jesus doesn't say, I'll protect you from everything always. Notice Jesus doesn't say, if you follow me, life will be great. Notice Jesus doesn't say, if you only had a little more faith, you wouldn't be depressed. Jesus says, I'm with you. Even until the end of the age. To Jewish people, that meant until the destruction of everything before the renewal of everything. So Jesus is saying, even in the most terrifying thing you can imagine, I'm with you. That's where our joy lies. God made us emotional creatures. No emotion is bad in and of itself. A lot of times we say anger's bad. Anger's not bad. Jesus said, be angry, just don't sin. If anger's bad, why would Jesus encourage you to be angry? Emotions aren't bad. I firmly believe that part of the image of God that we're created in is that we are emotional creatures. Other animals have emotions, sure. But humans have lots of varied and complex emotions. Just as God has lots of varied and complex emotions. We've had a tough year. By we, I don't mean Rockwood United Methodist Church exclusively. I mean we as human beings, as a planet. We have had a tough year. We live with an illness looming over us. And we always do. We always do. But this one is thrust in our face all day, every day. We worry about our loved ones. We worry about ourselves. We worry about the vaccine, right? There are people who are like, I'm not taking that vaccine no matter what. It's the mark of the beast, and they're going to put a tracking chip in me, and all that. We're worried about the vaccine. The people who are trying to help us, we're worried if they're genuine. Are they really trying to help us? We don't know who we can trust. Because the news doesn't report the news, they just report the part of the news that fits whatever narrative they're after, right? We've known for a long time we can't trust our leaders, right? I mean, the only thing worse than a politician is a lawyer, right? That's kind of the joke in our society, with apologies to the lawyers, the politicians, all the good ones out there. And yet, on this Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, we remember joy. Brothers and sisters, joy cannot be taken away. You can be depressed and have joy. You can be angry and have joy. You can be anxious and have joy. Because joy comes from the knowledge that just as 2,000 years ago, God sent his Son in the most vulnerable way as a little child to save us from the horrors of this world. He will send his Son again to renew this world and to free us fully from sin and death. So I say to you, brothers and sisters, during this time and always, cry and mourn if you have to cry and mourn. Be depressed if you need to be depressed. Have anxiety if you have to have anxiety. Be happy when you are encountering things that make you happy. But have joy in the knowledge that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Nobody can take that away from us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to have joy. Let us not fall into the trap of thinking that we have to always be happy, and that if we're not happy, we somehow are failing you. Rather, Lord, help us to understand our joy is found in the victory of Christ over sin and death. May we take that joy into all the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And taking those blessings, may you give them to all whom you encounter. And at the end of the day, no matter what happens, may you remember the joy found in Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.